I ask in the name of Jesus, Father, for your mercy. Lord Jesus, I look to you for your grace. Lord Holy Spirit, sir, I ask for your love and your help. And I also dock under the anointings of my fathers in this house, beseeching you that, Lord, you help me, Lord, to preach and to teach the word. Lord God, to speak as the oracle of God, the undiluted word of God, that you help me to bring forth, Lord, out of the good treasure, both things new and old, in the name of Jesus. The Lord God, as the word goes forth, Lord, you will cause our minds, O Lord God, to be enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit, the light of love. Lord, our wills to be fully submitted and aligned with the will of God. And Lord, our emotions, O Lord God, to be tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, by the fruit of the Spirit, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord God, because you will encourage us. You will strengthen us. And you will energize us as we listen to your word. Blessed be thy name, O Lord God. We give you praise, worship, glory, honor, and adorations in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The title of this message is Mercy for New Beginnings. Let's just quickly run through this. Isaiah 61, 1 to 11. Let's just quickly read that. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn in Zion, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and all that. We all, you know, we're all here when Pastor was preaching and talking to us about the fact that this year is a year of new beginnings, because the servants of the Lord have proclaimed Jubilee, and so new things are going to begin to spring forth, and it's going to be a year of glory and of Jubilee. Now, on that day when Pastor was preaching, there was a scripture that was in my heart, because, you know, a day or two before that day, the Lord gave me that scripture too, and that gladdened my heart, you know, when Pastor was preaching about, you know, new beginnings. I believe it's in Isaiah 43. Where it says that, behold, I will do a new thing. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Hallelujah. Right. It says, remember ye not the former things. Let's read together. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Praise the Lord. So, God is going to begin to do new things in our lives, in every area of our lives. You know, His glory will be made manifest, you know, as the year of Jubilee has been declared and prophesied. Now, the title of this message is Mercy for New Beginnings. Mercy for New Beginnings. We will see that one of the things that the Lord showed me, studying and meditating on this scripture that Pastor, you know, shared with us, was that new beginnings actually comes forth because of the mercy of the Lord. You know, you cannot have a new beginning if you don't have God's mercy behind you, you know, working for you. You know, you are working in the fullness of the mercy of God. Now, we all know, like we have been taught, that the mercy of God is, you know, God's compassion. You know, it is God's capacity to feel our infirmities, our weaknesses, and all of our limitations. And so, when He feels us this, it causes Him to release a measure of eternal life through the air upon our spirits, our souls, and our circumstances to help us to overcome all of those limitations, those weaknesses and infirmities. Now, mercy is usually, well, most of the time, all of the time, ministered from outside. But, you know, the grace of God is only ministered to Christians from inside. So it's only Christians that can have the grace of God. Unbelievers cannot partake of the grace of God. What they can only have is the mercy of God trusting God that as they, have that mercy will lead them to repentance, and then they will come to know the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So God gives us a new beginning. If you look at that word, it says a new beginning. So, you can think of it, this way. If there's a new beginning, there must be an old past. Pardon my English. If it's a new beginning, then there must be an old past. Something that has gone forth before, which was, old. It's like God is wanting to give us a fresh start. A new beginning. It says a fresh start. So God wants to, start something new, that has never been before, or maybe we've been walking in, darkness before. God wants to bring us into light. Maybe we've been walking in disobedience before. God wants us to begin to walk in obedience. Maybe we've been walking in rebellion before. God wants us to come to align our wills, to the will of God. So this new beginning speaks of God giving us a fresh start. Praise the Lord. Now, we've also been taught, like I said, I'll just quickly go over this. Pastor has taught us this before. There are three levels of the mercy of God. The first one is mercy to be preserved. I'm sure we're all familiar with this. To back that up, we just look at Lamentations 3:22. You remember what happened to Lot. He was preserved, even though he could have been destroyed. But, the mercy of God preserved him from temporal, destruction. He could have been, destroyed with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, but God preserved him. That is the first level of mercy. This is like 30-fold. The second one is mercy to be faithful to keep the word of God. 1 Corinthians 7:25. Let's just quickly read that. Mercy to be faithful to keep the word of God. Apostle Paul was speaking. He said that, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that had obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. So it means that we can obtain mercy, we can have mercy to enable us to be faithful stewards of the word of God. Now, the third one, that one is 60-fold. The third one, the ultimate mercy, is the 100-fold. Mercy to triumph in all things, always. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Mercy to triumph always. Now, let's read it together. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Praise the Lord. This is the 100-fold, the ultimate, of mercy, operation of mercy. This is on a 100-fold. That is mercy causing us to triumph. Mercy causing us to triumph.
Always.
Always, yeah. Mercy always causing us to triumph. You will notice that here there is, mercy and there is grace. It's like mercy, is in between grace and mercy. It's like mercy is in between grace on one side and in between grace on the other side. So we have mercy to cause us, to enable us to triumph in all things. We have this example in the life of Lord Jesus Christ. How that when he was under serious satanic opposition, pressure, the Bible said, the Bible makes us know that the Lord God, by his mercy, he sent his angel to come and strengthen him. The Bible says that he was exceedingly sorrowful, but here in this case, mercy triumphed over judgment. Mercy caused him to triumph in this situation. Mercy caused him to triumph always, and in particular in this situation. If we look at Isaiah 55 verse 3, I just want to quickly go through this. Isaiah 55 verse 3, it talks about the sure mercies of David. That was what we call it the sure mercies of David, but now we can say it's the sure mercies of Jesus. Amen. Because greater than David is there. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So it really is the sure mercies of David. Let's read it. It says, okay, incline your ear, come unto me, hear your ear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. This is an unfailing mercy. This is mercy that causes to triumph. Now, why is it called the sure mercies of David? We can identify with what happened with David. God made his mercy to be sure unto him. In spite of what happened, when he repented and, he turned back to God, he realigned his way, the mercy of God, came to preserve him, to help him, to give him strength to continue to run the race. Amen. So this mercy is sure. Now, because it is sure, like what happened to David, David was in, well, we can say he was backslidden at that point in time. And, he misbehaved, but by the mercy of God, God brought him back. And we can see that at the end of his life, God gave him what we can call a new beginning, a fresh start. You know, because if he had continued with, the way, he was living, I usually ponder, and think about it, what was going on in the heart of Father David, the first month, the second month, the third month, until the ninth month, if not for the mercy of God. And to think that he also killed a man, to cover his sins. He brought her into his house. It shows how our hearts, can deceive us. If we just, just leave it, let it do what is, that nature, what it wants to do. It's like water. It just flows down, the easy path. Water just goes down, the easiest path that it finds. So that's the same nature for you. Anyway, but here we see that God, in his mercy, he gave David a fresh and a new start. We can also identify with Rahab. Rahab was a harlot, but in God's mercy, God, gave her a fresh start.
Absolutely.
God gave her a fresh start. She did not, it wasn't that she wasn't only killed, during that siege, in Jericho. She was preserved. I'm sure she will have continued to worship the God of Israel. She's in the genealogy. Amen. So, so God preserved her and then gave her a fresh and a new start. That is the mercy of God. That is the mercy of God. That is the mercy of God. We can see the same thing in the life of Jacob. Jacob also, we can say that, he's Abraham's son, Isaac, but if he had continued the path that he was going, think about this. When he was coming back from, from Laban, and he met his brother, he could have killed him. He could have killed him if not for the mercy of God. Him and the whole of his household and, his brother would have just taken all his cattle, all the things that he thought he got from Laban, trickery and all that. But the mercy of God preserved him. What I want us to see today is that the mercy of God can give all of us a fresh and a new start from wherever we are. From, wherever we have been coming from, at this point in time, there is mercy to give all of us a fresh and a new start, a new beginning. Praise the Lord. And, this is the year of new beginning, and, we're still in January. So this is the time to really key in into the mercy of God so that, we can have a fresh new start and continue to run the race that is set before us. Amen. Praise the Lord. The most amazing one, if I can call it that, wonderful, that every time I think about this, it always is always amazing, is Manasseh. That God can forgive a man like Manasseh is the extent, of how God can stretch, his mercy. That's a word we use for metals, in geography we say it is ductile and malleable. Just like the mercy of God, you can just, if not that God had mercy on Manasseh, and he really really stretched God. it almost thinned out, but God still had mercy on him. And if God can have mercy on Manasseh, there's hope for any one of us, because there's no one, all you know, out of us here that is near what Manasseh has done. No one. Praise the Lord. Now, truly by the mercy and the grace of God. Also, we see the same thing in the life of Ruth and Naomi. You know, Naomi said, "Don't call me, sweet. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. You know, there's nothing." You even told Ruth, "Say there's nothing. There's nothing again. Just go back to your, to your household and all that." But God gave both Ruth and Naomi a new beginning, a fresh start. When they came back from Moab, to Bethlehem, there was nothing. There was no hope. They were not. There was no assurance of anything. No expectation. Nothing. They just came. They had that. Oh, there is bread now. So maybe let's go back. Okay, maybe we just find a way to, somewhere to perch and just live our life. But God took them and gave them beyond their dreams. A really fresh new start. For Ruth, who was a Moabites, and for Mama Naomi, whose life, is gone. She has lost all. Husband, son, everybody gone except for Ruth, who stayed with her. God gave her a fresh and a new start. God didn't only even give her a fresh new start. God actually perfected everything concerning her life. This scripture comes to my mind. The Bible says that Anna who prayed that prayer, when she was giving thanks to God. It says that, the barren has given birth to 7 sons. There's nothing else, but God said, no, if it is not finished, it is not finished. God is not over yet with us. Amen. So this is the time to key into all of us having a fresh and a new start. Now, unfortunately, sometimes some people do not take that mercy and use it. A very good example, Jezebel, in the book of Revelation. The Bible says that, she has been doing all those bad things, but the Bible says that God gave her space. But we know that she didn't repent. Because if she repented, it would have been recorded. Anyway, even though judgment had been passed on Jezebel, if she had repented, I'm so sure God will have forgiven her and will have given her a new lease of life, like Nineveh. Thank you, sir. Look at what happened. Nineveh, hopeless city, but by the mercy and the grace of God, look at how many people God brought out of Nineveh. And when God was, rebuking Jonah, he said that, thousands of, infants that you don't even care about them. So God not only saved Nineveh, the king, everybody in that city, in that town at that time, got saved. And they turned to the God of Israel. Now, there is something that, the Lord showed me about mercy. And that was what actually brought about this message, that you see the mercy of God will strengthen us. Really, it is life of God. The mercy of God is is released in measures of the life of God upon us, particularly from outside, from inside. The grace comes from inside. So when our running and our willing, when we come to, to our end, so to speak, to our wit's end, then, the mercy of God, undergirds us. It helps our running and our willing. Now, take us to victory. Sometimes, because we don't walk in the fullness of the abundance of the mercy of God, we fail. But when we fail, if we repent, we take up, our cross again, and continue to run the race, then the mercy of God, will now back us up, will now undergird us and enable us to run the race that is set before us to run, unto the end. I want us to read briefly something that, the Lord showed me from the book of Exodus 25. I was just meditating, you know, on the mercy of God. And, you know, I just thought, oh, you know, mercy. So I went, I was just studying and, you know, I came across this. You know, I want to talk briefly about the mercy seat. Praise the Lord. Let's read Exodus 25. Exodus 25, let's read from 17. Exodus 25. Now, let's read together. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. Next verse. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten gold shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. I will explain this, you know, when we finish reading this. Next verse, please. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. We're getting the picture. The next verse, please. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. Next verse, please. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark, thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. Next verse. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in the commandments unto the children of Israel. Wow. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the mercy seat. This is where mercy emanates from, if I can use that word. This is where mercy flows from. This is where mercy comes from. Mercy comes from this mercy seat. Now, this was the pattern. We all know that, you know, God gave Moses a pattern, you know, how to build the tabernacle, you know, the outer court, you know, that had the brazen altar and the lava. Then when you come into the holy place, you see the table of showbread, the candlestick, and the altar of incense. That one takes you, you know, you come to the veil, and then when you enter the veil, really, back then it was only the high priest that is, you know, that has the permission to go into the holiest of all. No other person goes, not even the small priest, and he goes only once in a year. We still get to that. Now, inside the Holy of Holies, there is just one piece of furniture there. Just one single piece of furniture, and that is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, in that Ark, maybe Sister Shola, if you can help me bring that thing out. In that Ark, it's actually described to us. This is not it. Okay.
That's the tabernacle.
That's.
Get the mercy seat.
There. Sorry, can you go back to verse 20 of Exodus 25? Okay. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. Not the one. The next one, please. Next verse. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. Let me talk about this briefly. The mercy seat comes, it's actually a lid. This mercy seat is actually like a covering. It is the covering that covers the ark. Praise the Lord. This mercy covers the law. What is inside the ark that is covering is the law. The Bible calls it the, you know, testimony, the ark of the New Testament, you know, the commandments. Praise the Lord. Now, the interesting thing that, you know, the Lord showed me about this is that, you know, the ark speaks of the commandment that we have been given. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do this, you know, and all that. What are the things that are required of us? It speaks of the things that are required of us. What we are supposed to do. What we should do.
it represents the law. You know, what we ought to do, the things that are required. But here, we see that the mercy seat is on top of the ark. That is very instructive. The mercy seat is on top of the ark. So, you know, we will run. And we will, if I can use that word. But if the mercy of God does not undergird us, does not rest on it, does not cover all of our running and our willing, then it will be nothing. It was this same mercy that was released upon the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, mommy was saying that, you know, I never thought about it that way, sir. That, you know, the Lord Jesus, when he was here, he was learning to live like a man. It opened a new way of looking at the Lord Jesus to me. Thank you. God bless you, sister. God bless. That is the mercy seat. Now, you will see that it has, two handles to carry. It is all of gold, as you can see. It is all of gold. Now, inside that box that you're looking at is where is kept the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses, and that's where they have kept it. But look at it. On top of it, that place where you can see, you know, like two dots, you know, in between where the wings are, you know, directly, you know, over where the wings are, is what is called the mercy seat. Absolutely. That is where mercy is seated. Praise the Lord. If I can say it that way. Now, over and above them, you can see the two angels. You know, this is really beautiful. I've never seen this before. You know, the two angels with their wings stretched out. Praise the Lord. Now, what the Lord showed me here was that the mercy of God, you know, sits upon the commandment.
Absolutely.
The mercy of God is on top of the commandment. The commandment is there, yes. Of course, I mean, God didn't say that we shouldn't, you know, obey the commandments. It is there. It's there. The commandments are there. You know, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, you shall not lie. All summarized, you know. Thou, walking in love. Now, that mercy seat is where God of mercy is seated, showing us mercy. This is where mercy actually triumphs over judgment. You can also use the word judgment for the law. You know, those are the things that are written. If you don't do this, then this is what, you know, is going to happen to you. You know, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. But in this case, God is showing us, foreshadowing what is coming ahead, that a time will come that it will not be only that, you know, you obey the law. You know, of course, we know that no man can keep all the law. It's impossible. Whether the feasts, you know, all the washings, you know, all the ceremonies, no man can keep all of those laws. So God in his mercy has, you know, foreshadowed and seen ahead that there will come a time that it will not be by power, it will not be by might, it will be by my spirit, by the mercy of God. Praise the Lord. You know, so here we see that mercy is seated, you know, upon the ark. Praise the Lord. Upon the covenant. Praise the Lord. And now we see the Lord Jesus Christ as our faithful high priest. That is our faithful high priest. I want us to read Romans chapter 7, 1 to 4. We just quickly Romans 7, 1, let's read 1 to 4 together. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. That's the thing. Verse 2. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so as long as he lives, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. That also speaks about, you know, what Apostle Paul said, you know, he said, I speak, you know, about Christ and the church, you know. So this is the woman, you know, typifying, you know, the church and her husband. As long as you are bound, you know, to your husband, which is the former sin nature, you know, and, you know, as long as you are bound to that former sin nature, you cannot be married to another one. That is why we need to be born again. Praise the Lord. So, you know, and you know, the Bible says that, you know, if that we have to crucify the sin nature, you know, so we die to sin. Praise the Lord. So we get born again here. We are now married to a new husband. Verse 3, please. Verse 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she will be called an adulteress. That is what is going on in the church now. You know, a lot of people, you know, they are married to Christ, yet they are still going around, you know, covetousness, idolatry, and all of that. She shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, praise the Lord, that my own husband is dead, the old nature, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That husband is dead. Then we are free from the law, from that law, so that she is no longer an adulteress, though she be married to another man. Verse 4, please. Verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you are also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that she should be married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That's what God is expecting from us in this time. Now, Hebrews 4, 14, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. We have a high priest that is passed into the heavenlies. Amen. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I want to give you a picture of what, you know, the Lord showed me about this mercy seat. You know, that mercy seat, like I said, it is mercy that flows from there. But before the you know, the Lord Jesus came to earth, you know, and he died and went back up, it was only God the Father that was sitting there. Praise the Lord. It was only God the Father that was sitting there, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, of course, you know, he wasn't there. So he's here. You know, he was here at that time. So it was only God the Father that was sitting on that throne. But when he, you know, after he died, you know, he was crucified and he went back to heaven, we still read where, I believe it's in Exodus, where, you know, sorry, trying to look for my, there's a scripture, I thought that I wrote it down, where what happens to the priest when they go to offer their sacrifices, you know, which they go there once in a year. The high priest goes into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifice. There are two things, well, they do a lot of other things, but two major things that they do. They must have an incense. They take a censer from the altar, you know, of incense from outside, and then they will now take that altar, that censer must be full of odor. So when he goes into the holiest of all, the whole place is filled with smoke. And you know that inside that place is also the Shekinah glory, you know, lightened, you know, lit by the light of God, you know, the Shekinah glory of God. So he takes that censer full of incense, you know, and then he goes in there. He must also have the blood to offer on that altar, on this mercy seat. So as he takes the incense with him, you know, the whole place is filled with incense. He's doing all this very carefully. Now, he then goes back and takes the blood, which he must sprinkle seven times. That speaks of completeness, perfection. Praise the Lord. That is, this was what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he took his own blood and went to, you know, when, what was her name? Mary wanted to come and meet him and said, oh, Rabboni, don't touch me. You know, because he had to go. He must not be defiled. You know, he had to take Leviticus 16. Verses 13 and 14. Thank you, sir. Yes, I just want us to read that. Leviticus 16, 13 and 14. Okay. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, or else it will die. So that place must be filled with incense. Next verse. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. There's a particular way he must do it. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, did this when he went to heaven. You know, he took his own blood. He took his own blood and went to offer his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Now, as he took that blood, and the place was, of course, we know, you know, the Bible says that, you know, Jesus Christ is, you know, is our priest that ever liveth to make intercession for us. Praise the Lord. And so that is why when we come to God today, we can say, Father, I confess our sins. We cling with the blood. Praise the Lord. Because it is the blood that actually atones for our sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as he takes the incense and the blood, it goes onto the altar and he offers it. Once he offers it, he offers that incense and the blood for the whole of Israel for 1 year. It covers them for 1 year. It is a once in a year ceremony, you know. So once the high priest goes there, he goes there once in a year. But we thank God that you know, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he offered his sacrifice for us once and for all, forever. He doesn't need to go back there again. And so, you know what? You know what? In heaven now, that is why we can sing, there's this song that we sing. There is a fountain filled with blood, comes from Emmanuel's vein. You know, we can sing that song today because that blood is still flowing. You know, we don't need to go and kill a bullock or a goat, you know, to take another fresh, another fresh blood. That blood is still flowing today. That's why we can, you know, like, you know, we do here, you know, particularly in Africa, the blood of Jesus is abundant. So, you know, brethren, just, you know, nyafu nyafu, just on anything. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, you get what I'm saying. The blood is there. So, we can go to the blood, you know, Father, we confess our sins, we cling with the blood, and then our sin, because he has atoned for our sins once and for all. He has paid that debt. He has paid that sacrifice once and for all. And because he ever liveth to make intercession for us, he's always offering prayer and incense for us at that mercy seat. And you know, like I said, he's now seated with God the Father. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is seated where? On the right hand. So now Jesus is there. That is why when we are running and we are willing and, you know, we are asking God for mercy, the Lord Jesus Christ knows how it feels to, you know, to be weak. You know, thank you. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know, when we are weak now, you know, we have all the kind of things that, you know, that we do. You know, we fail. You know, we are weak. You know, we sin and all that. He can identify with us. Thank you, sir. Hebrews 4:15. He can identify with our weaknesses. Hebrews 4:15. Let's read together. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So this high priest, this is the original high priest, in fact the only high priest, he is touched continually with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it means, you know, to, you know, wake up at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock and you are feeling tired. He knows what it is. Praise the Lord. Right. That's the priest. That's the priest offering that. You can see that he must not make any mistake there. Or else, you know, God is going to deal with him. Anyway, but, you know, the Lord Jesus, thank God, he didn't make any mistake. Of course, he couldn't, you know. So, there, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ had that incense. He's always offering, and you know, that incense for us. That is why, as we have been taught, it is important, and you know, it's something that we must practice. You pray in the Spirit, and when we are praying, you know, pray with all types of prayer. Particularly, Pastor was talking about supplication, you know, the other time. You know, when you're supplicating, you're asking God for mercy. You are asking God for mercy. You are asking God for mercy. And so, when you are asking God for mercy, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ can identify with your, you know, with your infirmities, with your weaknesses, with your failings, and then you just talk to the Father, Daddy, Joe, Eva, Mishanwe, you know, and then God will now supply mercy, which is released, you know, in measures, you know, as the life of God unto us. Praise the Lord. So God gives all of us mercy. You know, it is the way that God responds. It is the way that we all respond to God's mercy that determines the extent of the fullness of the mercy of God that we enjoy. Praise the Lord. How do we respond? You know, the mercy of God is, you know, is ever present. But it is the way we respond to the little measure that we have given, that we have been given at every point in time, that determines how we enjoy the fullness of the mercy of God that is being released unto us. Praise the Lord. Now, this mercy seat is not a judgment seat. That is why it is called the mercy seat. Praise the Lord. It's a mercy seat. It is only mercy that emanates from it. It is only mercy that is why David could get mercy. Rahab could get mercy. You know, Lot, Manasseh. It, you know, if something else was flowing from here, then, before God, no man can be justified. That's what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. So, it is only mercy that emanates and flows from the mercy seat. So, we see that, praise the Lord. So, we see that it is important for us to know that we have to put all of our dependence, you know, our trust in the mercy and the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Now, God gives us as his children, as his representatives on earth, to remit sins. You know, the Bible talks about us, you know, Christians, being vessels of mercy and not vessels of wrath. Of wrath. If we look at Romans chapter 9, verse 22 and 23, can you quickly get me that, please? Romans 9:22, is it, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? The next verse. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he afore prepared unto glory. This is our portion. We are vessels of mercy. Because we have received mercy, we can also, you know, give mercy unto other people. And that is what God is, you know, asking all of us to learn how to do. About a week or two ago, I think it was on Sunday, Pastor was talking about the fact that we have to confess, you know, other people's sins. As we confess, as you know, we say, Father, we confess our sins. When we do that, we are covering not ourselves only. We're doing that for the, you know, the people around us, maybe in your office, you know, all of them in this our sphere of influence, you know, even people that you enter the taxi with, you know, as when you are there, they are covered because you are there. Praise the Lord. So this is what God is calling us to be vessels of mercy. We're not called to be vessels of wrath. Praise the Lord. God has called us to be vessels of mercy. Praise the Lord. Now, we have seen that this mercy triumphs over judgment. And so, this same mercy, sorry, can we look at Romans chapter 9, verse 16? I don't know what's wrong with my iPad here. Romans chapter 9, 15 and 16. So then, 15, okay, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Next verse. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. Our running and our willing are important, but it is the mercy of God that undergirds. It is the mercy of God that that is superimposed upon our running and willing that now makes that running effective, you know, and it gives us, you know, a victory. It makes us more effective in our walk with God. You know, what comes to my mind when I think about this is how I believe, by the mercy of God, how, you know, when the prophet, what is his name? Elijah ran, you know, he outran, you know, the chariot of Ahab. That is what God is going to do with us. That is what he is willing to do with us, to give us speed. You know, what looks like, you know, is impossible. That is how, I mean, for him, you know, for Elijah at that place, you know, it has never happened before. It was a fresh, it was a new beginning, it was a new vista of, you know, of an experience of what has never, well, I've never heard of it before, you know, I've never seen, you know, he outran a chariot of horses, not one, no, because chariots always carry at least minimum of two horses, praise the Lord. So, but he outran him by the mercy and the grace of God. So, this mercy will make our willing, you know, because Elijah ran and he was willing, but the mercy of God gave him speed. So, thank you, sir. He overtook the horses and, you know, he got to his destination even before the man that was coming with the chariot. Praise the Lord. So, and that's what God is going to do with us, you know, in this day too. God will make us, you know, cause us to overrun our enemy. Praise the Lord. And we will get to our destination, you know, with speed to the glory of God. Amen.
By the mercy of God.
By the mercy of God. Praise the Lord. Then this scripture also says that in Job 22:29, I believe, it says that you know, when men are cast down, you know, then it will be said of us that there is a lifting, and God will save the humble. I want us to read this. When men are cast down, that is when we are going to say there is a lifting up, and he will save the humble. Notice, it is the humble that enjoys this mercy. People get cast down every time. It is not everybody that is cast down that gets raised up. It is only the people who are humble enough, you know, with honesty and humility of heart. Thank you, sir. It is these people who are humble before God that recognize their, you know, their need for mercy. You know that I don't have any strength in me. Lord, have mercy on me. It is such people that will be lifted up in this day. People who are humble, and like we've been taught, people who are lowly in heart, who are meek, who are willing to submit to the will of God in all that they do. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9, this is part of the things that God is going to do, giving us new beginnings by his mercy. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9, I spoke about that the other time. 1 Samuel chapter 2, from verse 5, please. Let's read from verse 5. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren had borne seven, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. This is, you know, you can see the difference. You know, barren, bearing seven. Praise the Lord. Let's read the next one. Hungry, full. The Lord kills and he makes alive. This person was dead before, but God brought him back to life. He brings him down to the grave, and he also brings up, God raised up Lazarus. And so there is hope for us too, that in this day, God is going to raise us up. I want us to read, after 2 days, I want us to read Isaiah 61. You know, the Lord showed me some, you know, areas where God is going to be lifting us up, bringing forth new things in our lives. Isaiah 61, let's read from verse 1. Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, this is it now. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This person was brokenhearted, but they are now bound up. Praise the Lord. This is the day that God is going to be, you know, binding up, you know, all our broken hearts, you know, so to speak. Then he proclaims liberty to the captives. They were in captive in captivity before, but they will be freed. They are now living in liberty. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. These people were in prison before, but now they are loose. Next verse, please. And now here, he proclaims liberty. He proclaims the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. He comforts all that mourn. Next verse. He appoints unto them that mourn in Zion, and he gives unto them beauty for ashes. They had ashes before, but now they have beauty. The oil of joy for mourning. They had mourning before, but now they have joy. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That now, you know, the Bible says that, you know, darkness is past, and the true light now shines. That now they will be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So in this new day that God is causing his mercy, you know, to rest upon us, I just want to encourage us that this is the time, if we want to, you know, really partake of this new beginning that has been proclaimed, this is the time for us to key into the mercy of God. We are running, and I know that a lot of us are willing, and we run, but we have to be conscious of the mercy of God in the background. Always, you know, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. As we're praying every day, you know, we're reading our Bible, you know, we're doing our communion, we're saying, you know, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. You know, as I'm going out today, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, I'm in the office. Lord, have mercy on me. So that everything that we're now doing, you know, the mercy of God will now undergird and cover. Like the mercy of God, you know, sat on the, you know, on the ark, or, you know, on the mercy seat. Now, there was also something that, you know, I believe the Lord showed me. You know, the Lord Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, it was, you know, when he was there, the Bible says that, you know, God sent an angel to come and strengthen him. I believe it was one of these guys on the mercy seat. You know, when, yes, you know, the cherubims, God sent an angel, one of the cherubims, to come and strengthen him, releasing life from the mercy seat. He now, the angel now strengthened him, and what was, you know, almost impossible, what was becoming very, you know, very, very difficult, you know, because he was looking at the cross ahead of him, you know, all the beatings, all the shame, you know, and all that. He was looking at it, you know, and going to hell for us. In fact, that one's the worst, you know, all the beatings, you know, he was looking at, you know. But when the mercy of God, when God sent, you know, one of these angels, you know, he sent them and they came. That mercy, you know, so to speak, you know, catapulted him, you know, into doing the will of God. And I believe that if the same angels, you know, if they minister to the Lord Jesus, they will minister to us also. Praise the Lord. So that these same angels, they are already ministering unto us, because God has given his angels charge over us. And Bible calls those angels, says that they have been sent to minister unto us who are the heirs of salvation. Praise the Lord. So this is what I believe that the Lord put in my heart to just briefly share with us, that this is the time of new beginnings, that we need to tap into the mercy of God as we just trust God, like it happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we saw in the life of all the patriarchs, how that the mercy of God bailed them out, the mercy of God undergirded them and brought them through. And I believe that in this new year of new beginnings, as we are awaiting the manifestation of the glory of God, new beginnings, you know, this season of Jubilee, as we just trust in the mercy of God, we will see God do great and new and wonderful things ahead in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.